Bro, you there? All right, Blog Talk. Thank you for joining us on the Brothers Podcast. I'm your host, Maurice. I am You there now, bro?
Blog Talk, can you hear me?
Have a little echo going in the background.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix it. All right, let's do this. All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, but I still hear a little echo.
All right, so the echo is going to be live because I had a dial in from my phone. I want to do a take three. I promise you, I don't know what's going on with this mic system, but I gotta have to dial in through my phone. But my issue is when I go to log in for the Wi-Fi, I mean through the Safari, for some reason it's trying not to let me in. So
okay,
we gonna start this show over, or you can run it until I can get in.
Okay, I can win it till you get in.
All right, good deal. Give me 5 minutes.
All right. Those of you that have been listening to Blog Talk Radio, I'm your host, Maurice, as I'm the professor. And I live in the beautiful Charm City, or as Dre says, I got to be more careful, Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you for joining us tonight. We do apologize for our technical difficulties, but, you know, that's life. Things happen. You roll with the punches. And Murphy's Law says that anything that can go wrong basically will go wrong. But we're going to work through it on tonight. We're going to get through our issues and our tissues to have a wonderful show for you on tonight. We want to do some hot topics. I'm going to just have to do some hot topics on my own when Dre and Javon come back on. Then we'll introduce them. So one of our hot topics for tonight is actor Liam Neeson recently had an interview with on The View and said that it was the worst interview that he had ever done. He said that he felt uncomfortable because it was Joy Behar had a little crush on him, and she kept going on and on about her crush. So he felt a little uncomfortable being on the show. He said it was not a good interview, and he felt extremely, extremely uncomfortable. Yeah. As you all know, Joy is about 80, almost. I think she's 80 years old. So I think the banter back and forth made Liam feel uncomfortable. And sometimes, you know, even though he may have a little crush or, you know, a little crush on someone, sometimes you got to learn how to tone it down just a little bit, just a little bit. All right. So that is one of our hot topics. And on yesterday, Tyler Perry had to dispute a false report about Miss Cassie Davis. You know, Miss Cassie Davis has been in Tyler Perry plays. She's Aunt Bam, and she's been Aunt Bam in some of his plays and his movies. And I can't think of the character she plays on House of Pain. Oh, my goodness, it's escaping me. Because I love House of Pain, by the way. I actually liked it when the first season it came out. Oh my God, I can't think of her name, but someone had reported that she had passed on, that she had passed away, and so Tyler Perry had to come out with an actual Instagram post. He posted it on his Instagram, and he stated that he was wondering why she didn't know, and he didn't know that she was dead. It's very interesting that people are still posting stuff like saying people are dead who are really not dead. As you all know, Eddie Murphy had a joke played on, had a fake death notice on him. It was someone else that had a fake death notice that they were dead. So we have to be careful when posting stuff on social media, because sometimes before the family can post, before the family can say anything, we're the first ones to post. Even though we hear about someone passing, we tend to be the bearer of the bad news when literally it's okay for you to let the family post. Tyler and Cassie, I'm going to read the post on Instagram. Cassie Davis, Tyler says, after I've gotten several calls from people giving me their condolences and I didn't know what they were talking about, I was sent this article that's going around. I don't know how she could have died and nobody told me or her. So I called her and asked her, was she dead? And she said, hell no. She's alive, you guys. Cassie Davis is yet alive. So she is not dead. She is still on this side of the living with us. So please be careful what you post on social media, because someone could be reading it and could be the actual person still living. So we have to be careful about that. We know coming up very soon, we will be having March Madness. For those of you college basketball fans, go North Carolina. And we have Dre with us.
Oh, he's a basketball fan.
Tar Heel. Now, see, I'm not a – let me be clear. I don't want y'all to get it twisted. I am not a sports person at all. I just know that I love the North Carolina Tar Heels. But on the flip side of that, my family, my aunt, she's a Duke fan. She also loves the Carolina Panthers. She's a Duke fan, and another cousin, they're Duke fans. I'm Carolina. This only comes out during this season, so you will never ever hear me talk about sports again after March Madness. So I hope that North Carolina makes it to the Final Four, because they've been disappointing in the past few years.
Well,
we think,
you know.
I'd be a Maryland fan because I live in Maryland. That's not true. I was born and raised in North Carolina, Cherry Point Hospital and Havelock, Kakalaki, North Kakalaki. Let's be clear, not South Kakalaki, North Kakalaki.
Newberry, North Carolina. Believe it or not, I am a Tar Heel fan, so I definitely understand. And I ain't going to hold you. I was only a Tar Heel fan when I found out that that's the college that Michael Jordan went to. And you can't be a Mike fan and not be a fan of Mike all the way through. So I was like, hey, you know, Tar Heels it is. Have I ever been to North Carolina? No. I've been to the state.
Really?
I haven't been to the college. Yeah, I've never been to North Carolina College, but I have been to the state. I've been to Charlotte twice. I actually was about. No, I've never been to UNC campus. I went to Charlotte. I was going to move to Charlotte, and things just didn't work out. I had a bootleg realtor and all that good stuff.
So bad. I've never been to North Carolina, and it's actually North Carolina at Chapel Hill, because of course. You know, with the University of Maryland, with the University system, It could be North Carolina at Greensboro or UNC. I've never been to UNC Chapel Hill, but I heard it's a very beautiful and gorgeous campus. I actually, when I lived in North Carolina, I dreamed of going to East Carolina University. I didn't think I was not trying to, because when I was a kid, they used to show commercials of the college of East Carolina University on TV, and I knew that I wanted to go to college, that I wanted to go to ECU. Bless me. I wanted to go to ECU. Unfortunately, that was not the plan of my life. I did end up going to a HBCU, the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Go Hawks! Where I graduated with my bachelor's degree in English. So I didn't necessarily go to a North Carolina school. Sorry, North Carolina. Sorry. But I still love you, Tar Heels.
No, well, I actually applied for Elizabeth City State University in Elizabeth, North Carolina, and then I was very big on going there. Don't ask me why. I was accepted to Johnson C. Smith, but I chose Johnson & Wales because I think it got to the point where I was just like, you know, do I really want to be around a bunch of my folk? And I think a part of that was just because, you know, everything I've seen about college life, especially HBCUs, all dealt with partying. And I was like, I don't want to go to college just to party. I want to go somewhere where I'm going to get a good education and I'm going to be able to learn. Because at the end of the day, my money has – I got to pay for this. You know what I mean? I can get a good party anywhere, but I have to pay for this. And so that's why I ended up going somewhere that I knew was going to make me buckle down and – actually focus on my studies.
Right.
Yeah, if I went to HBCU, I wasn't graduating, I promise you.
Right. But, you know, we can talk back around to this when we're finished with our hot topics about HBCU, because I have a couple of things I want to share about some HBCU, especially the one I went to. You got a hot topic because I can't even think of, my brain kind of did a brain freeze.
I got you. Vince McMahon is being sued. Someone that went to the WrestleMania 38, I believe it was, sat in a seat where the pyrotech has blown out part of his hearing. And so he filed a lawsuit with the company. And in the midst of him filing a lawsuit with the company, it looks like WWE is not backing down. In fact, they asked if the trial could be moved to the U.S. District Court, apparently in Fort Worth, Texas. And it looks like this case is going to move forward. Apparently, this isn't the only lawsuit that Vince McMahon has on the company this year, as another guy is suing WWE after being hit by one of the WWE trucks while riding his bike. And now he has been told, according to his lawsuit allegedly, that he is not able to, he will not be able to live life with the full happiness that was given to him. So this came days after, with WrestleMania first, this came days after WrestleMania. Marvin Jackson is the guy's name, who is the plaintiff's name, who is suing Vince McMahon for $1 million, including damages of any kind, penalties, costs, expenses, prejudgment interest, and attorney fees. And I'm sorry, he's seeking monetary relief of more than $1 million. WWE filed a request on February 17th to have the lawsuit moved to the United States District Court for the Northern District of Texas Fort Worth Division. And the other lawsuit was filed in June of 2021. Jackson Parsons alleges that he was struck by a WWE van driven by employee Dayton Thomas in July of 2019 while he was riding his bicycle. In the lawsuit, he claims he suffered permanent injuries, mainly physical injuries, pain and suffering, disability, and the inability and loss of the capacity to lead and enjoy a normal life. So all of these have popped up in the midst of Vince's departure and return. Personally, I believe, I can't speak too much for the traffic incident, but as far as this pyrotechnic incident, who has not watched wrestling before they actually went to a wrestling show? Like, you know good and hell well it's going to be fireworks.
Right.
And you know good and hell well, anytime you got pyro, you should at least have some earplugs. Now, the thing that boggles me is that the basis of the lawsuit is based upon the fact that there is nothing on the ticket that states that there will be pyro at the event, and therefore you should have something for your ears. I find this to still be kind of foolish. I'm interested in seeing how the judge rules on this situation.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in this whole, since Vince McMahon has returned, just seems like is he really good for the company? And I think that's what they really have to look at. Is he good for the company? Because lawsuits upon lawsuits upon lawsuits have been happening mm-hmm. under him. And I want him to look at it as, you know, am I really good for my brand? Are people going to start turning away from me? You know, am I going to lose endorsement for that? So
I don't
gonna,
really think he cares. I mean, I think for when I'm looking at it, he's
like
trying
it.
To sell it anyway. So I really don't think he cares. I think he's, you know, his whole thing is at this point, there would never be another WWE show. Why not just sell it?
It will never be another WWE. I still loved it when it was the WWF. It was a little different. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of selling companies, it's going to make you laugh. I read an article where the Miss Universe pageant has lost sponsorship because of their reigning Miss Universe. There was already controversy when she won this week. When she won Miss USA. So the current Miss Universe was a former Miss USA, and when she won, there was controversy that it was rigged, that she did not win fairly. She had won through cheating, and now it appears that not only is the controversy with her being Miss USA, now there's controversy with her being Miss Universe, and it looks like the Miss Universe organization has lost majority of their sponsorship. And in another known event related to this pageant is that three countries have withdrawn due to the fact the new buyer for the Miss Universe pageant has decided that you have to now bid to hold the pageant in your country. And it's upwards of, I think I read, $100,000 to $400,000. So it causes people to literally have to bid to host the pageant in their country.
So he's trying to start bidding wars.
Yeah, it's a bidding war. And so some people feel like it's not fair, that the bidding war is not fair. And just say, for instance, you want to host it in the view, you want to host this universe in Israel, but then, so Israel and Nigeria are bidding the host, but for some reason, Nigeria, which is maybe the better country, Israel ends up outbidding them and winning. Yeah, they're saying it's not fair. Three countries left, if I'm not mistaken. I can't think of the countries that left, but three countries left the pageant, and one of them had been with the pageant for over 30 years.
Wow.
So we, right, you wouldn't think, it's a beauty pageant, you wouldn't think, hey, beauty pageant, women in gowns and swimwear and this and that, answering questions, getting picked, and you wouldn't think, oh, wait a minute, it's a business. It is really a business. It is a business, you guys.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. Wow, you would never guess that for. I guess next year they're going to have the casinos in Atlantic City start bidding on who hosts Miss America.
Miss America, the only controversy that I recall Miss America having was when Vanessa Williams posed in Penthouse, posed naked in Penthouse in 1984, and they end up stripping her of the title. But then I want to say in 2019 or 20, they actually apologized to her, and now she is recognized as Miss America 1984. They had to come back
after
and apologize.
After 1,000 years, they decided to apologize.
After 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
after you crowned a whole other black woman.
Absolutely.
And if you know anything about Miss America 1984, Vanessa Williams was the first woman of color or black woman to win, African American, to win Miss America. But actually it worked out because Suzette Charles, which was the first one up from New Jersey, because Vanessa Williams represented New York, and Suzette Charles represented New Jersey, and was an African American woman. So it still worked out. We still had black representation for that year, but Vanessa Williams is known for being the first black.
And what year did they have to apologize to her?
I think it was either 2019 or 2020.
Took for Black Lives Matter and a pandemic to come for them to decide that they're going to apologize.
Yep.
Absolutely bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Speaking of powerful black women, shout out to the brat who is expecting her first child at the age of 48,
gorgeous,
along with her wife. She announced it on her Instagram that she is pregnant along with her wife, Jessica Dupart, who she's excited. She's excited, and I'm excited for the brat. She is gorgeous pregnant. If you missed her picture, you know, she is excited to have the baby, and I am excited for the brat. What do you feel about this situation?
I'm excited for the brat. I actually saw the pictures, and she looked gorgeous. I'm just excited for her to live her truth, but to enjoy what she's doing and being in love with the woman she's in love with. So congratulations to the brat. I hope that you enjoy this pregnancy. See some pictures and looks gorgeous.
And congratulations to her wife also. I don't want it to really just see it's all the brat, but you know, herself and her wife, she has been through a lot to carry this baby. And you know, she's endured a lot to have this baby, and I definitely feel like this is a good thing. Absolutely. And she's only 18 weeks, so she's 18 weeks alone, but you know, I'm excited.
I'm sorry. I'm going back to our previous story. It was in 2016 when they apologized to Vanessa Williams. 2016.
Okay.
Sorry. I knew it was somewhere.
We made that correction.
Yeah. 2016, they apologized to her.
He would definitely make a correction on the play.
Yeah. Awesome. I just said look it up and just to make sure when it was, but I knew that they apologized to her. I did know that.
Understandable. So we definitely still want to acknowledge that they did apologize. But I still just felt like, you know, it's 83 to 2016, you know, that's still a long time. That's still 33 years. It took them as many years as Christ was when he died to apologize to somebody. I think as a society, especially when it comes to, I don't really bite my tongue, but, you know, when it comes to a society of an event that's ran predominantly by Caucasian people, I do feel that we need to be a little bit more quick to move on demanding our equal rights, because of the simple fact that look at how many injustices have occurred since, before, and after the Miss America pageant. Mm-hmm. And if we look at it, Hollywood and entertainment as a whole is the most investigated yet overlooked industry, based upon the fact that there are so many racial things that are so easily begotten and overlooked mm-hmm. when it comes to television, movies, even the news media. You know, like, I can't watch Fox News without thinking I'm watching something from back in segregation, because they just don't like. And it's not even just the basis that they don't like Democrats. They don't like anybody on Fox News who even resembles a Democrat. They don't even like black Republicans on Fox News. So it's like, you know, you blatantly are showing your level of disrespect for humanity, and we overlook it as a society, and for what reason?
Right. It's very telling about Hollywood being, if you really look at Hollywood, and being a movie star, it's very hard for people, black people, people of color, to get certain jobs or being pigeonholed into one particular genre. It also is very, like you said, it's always investigated, but always deaths are often, for black people, are ruled as suicide or accident or... And you never know the true story until someone comes out and tells you, well, if you look at it, this person died this particular way. But they would suggest that there may have been some type of foul play. So you're looking at a people who are creative, who are also extremely eccentric. I'm not going to say weird. But extremely eccentric and extremely just, they're creative, but the things that go through their mind, like if we analyze a lot of deaths of African Americans in Hollywood, why were Hollywood actresses from the 40s like what is her name? Oh my gosh, it was Dorothy Dandridge, or these people? Why were they dying penniless? Why were they dying?
Yeah.
Why were they dying penniless, and why were they dying at such young ages? Like, you're looking, why were they dying in their 40s, in their 50s? Why was there always drug overdoses? And so we got to look at how, because I, you know, working with kids, working with young people, I hear them talk about wanting to be rich and wanting to be successful, but not knowing there's always a price for this fame. There's always a price. And you may not be able to handle the price that you're going to have to take to be in the spotlight. So we need to really revisit look at what we're idolizing, what we're looking at. Why is it taking some people in their 40s and their 50s to even get fame? Or to become famous. The bastard's in her 60s. Why hasn't she had an Oscar? Viola Davis, why did it take, well, but why did she have to have her Oscar in a supporting actress role? Why, she's a lead actress.
Right.
The hell out of
absolutely.
Anna. I will always say, I watched Fences, and she did an excellent job with which she, that's what she won her Academy, supporting Academy Award in with Fences. But why does it take women of people of color, black people, and that, not just black people, when I say people of color because Hispanics as well, Latinos, why does it take them a breakout, they need one breakout role to be a great actor or actress? And then why, when they do win an Academy Award or win an award, then we don't ever see them for 5 or 6 years again? Is it like, are y'all
exactly.
trying to need a quota?
It's almost like,
you know,
it's like we have to put somebody in here that's not, that is African-American. Let's put somebody who just had a hot movie so they could shut up.
Right.
And then, you know, and then we can keep it moving. But, you know, and I really feel like they almost want to say, you know, they have their BET, they should be happy.
When you look at it and when you look at even with TV shows with people, you know, with a black cast or why are those shows not award-worthy? Like when we were teenagers, like, why wasn't Martin award? Martin could have won an Emmy. Living Single could have won an Emmy.
Absolutely.
Certain shows, My Wife and Kids, could have won an Emmy. Like, why are those shows? And not only that, but when you look at them, My Wife and Kids depicts a black family with a husband and a wife in the home.
Yes, with kids who don't look anything like them.
Different shades of brown. Then you, it's interesting that why can't our kids see like we saw with the Cosby Show or what we saw like with A Different World? Like, but I know it's a different time period. I get it. How can they see those things with some, and even in the TV shows on Netflix that they watch?
That's true.
Yeah.
Although Netflix, I can say they're kind of stepping up, because even with Netflix, I think, like, the biggest move I think Netflix just made was just the signing of Chris Rock's live comedy show, which is a first for Netflix, coming in March. This is a first for Netflix, but I really feel like because of it being a comedian of someone of notoriety such as Chris Rock, I do feel like this is going to take Netflix to another level.
You know, the sad thing is, though, I do not find Chris Rock funny.
He's a political comedian, very satirish.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't find him funny. I think he's awesome. I think he's awesome. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing how this flows. We'll see how this plays out in the future, but I just really feel like we got to stop. I think nowadays it's becoming a thing where people are just getting pissed off because we're taking over everything. And I think that's what's pissing off a lot of people, because if you really pay attention, like even with The Voice, you know what I mean? You could tell they really be wanting to vote in, you know, those good R&B singers, but they so tired of us winning everything. They like, y'all done took over American Idol, y'all done took over Dancing with the Stars, y'all done took over Sunday Best. You know, we got to do something. So they, I think that's the problem. You know, I mean, they got Food Network, because God knows we don't never win the baking competition. But I do feel like, you know, folk are just tired of seeing us take over everything. Like, we got to stop being good at everything. Sometimes we just got to woo-saw ourselves out, you know. And speaking of woo-sawing ourselves out, Judge Mathis has been canceled along with People's Court by Warner Brothers, who is now just getting out of the judge show business. Mathis is now trying to work with a black studio to empower black businessmen and black studios and get his show back on the air. And he is going to be perhaps be back for a judge show and
or
a talk show on political issues.
Show. Or he said one or the other. He said he could be a court show.
Or one or the other.
I really would love to see, as much as I love Judge Mathis, but I really am disappointed in them canceling the People's Court because I do love, I mean, a good judge show. I grew up in the 80s. I grew up with my grandparents. But my grandparents didn't, we watched the People's Court when I was a kid with Judge Wapner. And I know some people listen like, oh, Judge Wapner, who is that? Judge Wapner is the current day, would be, he was the male version of Judge Judy. He is since deceased, but he was the male version of Judge Judy. He didn't play, but he wasn't like Judge Judy. He wasn't as vocal as she was, but when it came to certain things, Judge Wapner didn't play. So I love Judge Melion because I felt like she could be like Judge Judy, but she could also be very understanding as well. She wasn't condescending to people, but she also held people to a standard. Like, you cannot just come in here showing me papers. You can't come in here and do what you want. So I felt like she was that type of judge. But I also, there were some things about Judge Mathis I like. I'm not saying he's a bad judge. I just wasn't really into his show. But you can count on when I'm at home, or Judge Mathis is going to say something to make you laugh. So I did watch Judge Mathis, but I was really so much into Judge Judy and Judge Melion. So I'm kind of a little sad that they canceled her show. They canceled the Beef, of course.
Yeah. I got tired of hearing people being called crackheads. I ain't going to hold you.
You was a crackhead.
I got so tired of hearing that. I'm not even going to hold you.
It's actually a comedian. It's two comedians, and I love watching them. B-Lynn. And I can't think of the other guy. They actually did a parody of Mathis' show, and the guy was spot on with his vocalization of how Judge Mathis talks. So they are quite funny. We are going to miss them. We hope that Judge Melion can find somewhere, if they can just give her a court show somewhere. Maybe they could replace her on Hot Bench. I'm going to vote to
I would love
put
to
her
see,
on Hot Bench.
I would definitely love to see her on Hot Bench. I would definitely love to see that. You know what court show I really don't like? I really don't like Couples Court.
I don't understand it. It's kind of hard for
really
me to understand.
I don't like Couples Court. I'm like I say ooh for the concept, but at the end of the day, I really don't like. Couples Court. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness. Guess what's coming to Baltimore, you guys?
What's coming to Baltimore?
Carolina Kirsten!
Lord, let us pray.
Yes, let us pray. Carolina Kirsten is coming to Baltimore, y'all. Coming to Baltimore.
I can't.
All right, bro. Tonight
is... Well, we're getting a Cheddar's in Newark.
Hey, Cheddar's! Woo-hoo!
For everybody who does not understand why we're so excited, number one, Carolina's Kitchen, if you've never been there, you need to get from under the rock you live. and head to Maryland and get to see Carolinas in your life. And if you have never been to Cheddar Scratches, you also need to get to the DMV area, but also in Delaware they have it in Camden. And then next month it will be in Newark. So I'm excited. I'm excited.
So listen, I know some of you do not like Carolina Kitchen because you say it's too high price, and sometimes the food is nasty. We got it. Sometimes, as with any soul food restaurant, there are some hits and some misses. But I'm going to say this. Give it a chance. Don't eat it every day. Don't eat it every Sunday. Go to the right one. All depends on which one you
got. That part.
Yeah,
you knew that was the wrong one.
Yeah. Cheddar Scratch Kitchen is great. The food is delicious. It's not overpriced. It's not overpriced. Like, you can get a meal for two and pay it for and not go over budget. So, and especially, is there tax on food in Delaware? Or there's no tax at all on anything?
Oh, no, there's no taxes, period, in the first state.
Yep. So, for those of you in the Delaware area, when you go to Texas, you ain't got to pay no tax.
Come on, Delaware.
And for those of you that's close to Delaware, baby, you ain't got to pay no tax on your food.
That's it. Come on, Delaware.
Okay,
understand
bro,
the concept.
Tonight, we said we going to speak our heart, right?
Absolutely.
It's an open forum, correct?
Open forum, absolutely.
Okay. So I want to touch on something. I don't want you all to hear me differently. I'm going to share something with you all that happened to me over the weekend. I had an epiphany over the weekend that sometimes people blame you for stuff that you had no control over. I was in a situation where I was blamed for something. Someone felt like I didn't protect them. Someone that felt like I wasn't there for them. And as I began to unpack all of that, because sometimes you have to unpack your part in it, your part, what part did I play, what part did they play, and what were the outside forces that played into where we are now. As I begin to unpack that, I learned a couple of things. I learned, number one, that, first of all, you cannot blame someone who loves you unconditionally. You can't blame someone for you not taking ownership of yourself. Because a lot of times with us, is we blame, like, we blame our parents. When we are adults, we blame our parents for not teaching us certain things. Well, once you become an adult and once you start knowing better, you start trying to learn for yourself. I feel like we blame our parents, we blame people for so long because it feels good to place blame on someone. And we got to stop placing blame on people because when we know better, we do better.
Mm-hmm.
Not only when we know better, we do better. We have to also sometimes accept the part that we played in this. If I allow people to use me, if I allow people to take advantage of me, that's the part I played in it, and I have to own that. And sometimes we as human beings, we don't own the stuff. And so this weekend I learned that I have to allow people, that people need to, first of all, you need to own your stuff. Own it. Be genuine about it. Say you messed up. Say if you know you were wrong. And then number two, once leave a person alone and they're no longer in your life and they're no longer in your orbit, you don't have the responsibility of holding on to that. Because sometimes we hold on. Now, if we felt like we wronged something, now, okay, I'll talk about me. I can't talk about y'all. If I feel like I wronged someone, I apologize for it, but I also accept, you know, my part in this. And what I realized that once the person left my life, left me alone or left my life, I was no longer responsible for how they felt.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're not a part of my circle anymore. They're not a part of my life. And I don't need to keep defending myself or having other people defend me for what I know that I did right and for what I know that I did wrong. And I apologize for the wrong I played or part that I played. Because sometimes we're wrong. When you are interacting with people, you may not do everything right. You may not do everything the way that needs to be done or the way that it should be done. And that's okay because you're learning. You make mistakes. But I refuse to allow myself to be the scapegoat or the person hung up because there are hang-ups or there are issues that people need to deal with. And so we need to, so for those of you all listening, and I wish that, I hope she's on tonight or someone calling, like, stop beating yourself up over stuff that, first of all, you had no control over or things that you did have control over and you didn't use wisdom. You didn't do things the right way. Mm-hmm. Once you apologize and meant it, once you let that stuff go, because it is a hindrance or it is a hindrance to your growth as an individual, it's a hindrance to you emotionally, and it's a hindrance to you mentally. Because now you're beating yourself up over stuff that has nothing to do with you. And number two, you're no longer held. Don't be held hostage to someone's feelings about you. This person may never speak to me again, and I may never speak to them again. And I'm okay with that. But I'm not going to be held hostage by their feelings or their particular issues about what I did and did not do for them. Why are you laughing? I have to listen. We need to be honest. Like, some of us are losing sleep over people because people want to hold us hostage to stuff that we apologize for 7, 8 years ago. We gotta learn how to, like, not be. Huh?
I'm not losing no sleep over nobody. Petey just said, when somebody lost your life, let them go. I'm not losing no sleep over that decides you want to walk out of my life for something messy you did. Like,
not just messy, but also.
First of
messy.
All, can I say this? As a grown person, it's not my job to protect you. Let's start there. I'm just, you know, just going with your conversation. As a grown person, I ain't fitting to protect no grown person. You grown. And if you're grown enough to make decisions that you make, you should be grown enough to take the consequences that come with the decisions of the choices that you make. Today, tomorrow, next year, the year after. I ain't sitting to sit here and protect no grown person. Man, woman, in between. I ain't protecting near person that's grown. We protect children. You protect your parents because they're, at times, they get old and feeble. You protect your significant other because that's who you chose to spend the rest of your life with. It ain't my job to protect somebody who out here doing everything that they big and bad enough to do under the sun. Number one. Number two, if you've grown enough to start this, you've grown enough to figure out how to carry yourself in case the mess you start catch up to your ass. If you've grown enough to have your mouth on everybody, you've grown enough to get punched in your mouth for your mouth being on everybody. I ain't protecting no grown person. If you is able to tell everybody how you living and living color, you grown enough to accept the consequences of being in living color. So, I ain't fitting to protect no grown person. I believe in this day and age, part of the problem with truth, and I'm going to say this, and if you're a true friend, stop letting people get you involved in their foolishness. Sometimes you got to be that friend to tell your so-called friend, yo, I ain't involved in this. And you was wrong. You know, if I could just give a little backdrop of the show, the reason why this show came about is because we are three friends who have no problem saying to each other, you was wrong.
Right.
And as a friend, we have to be able to accept, as a grown person, we should be able to accept the word, you was wrong, period.
But not just you were wrong, but not just you were wrong, but just what part you were wrong, what part did you play? Now let's move on, because I think one of the major issues that I see people doing is they blame somebody for something that happened to them, and then they never say, oh, I hadn't given them my $5 million, they would have never stolen my $5 million. You know, I knew I couldn't trust them in the beginning. I knew from the beginning that they were a thief, but I gave them my $5 million to hold.
See, but then I got to hold you accountable for being stupid. Because if I know that you ain't trustworthy, I ain't trusting you. You know, let God play those games. You know, if I know you are a messy person, I'm very careful around you. Because you're messy. And I got to make sure I don't have to get in any unnecessary fights because I know you're messy. Well, such and such this. And here's the other thing I learned. If they talk about cousin down the street behind cousin's back, you best believe they saying something about you behind yours.
Right.
So I'm very cautious of people. You know, I've cut off many friendships because a lot of people don't think that the stuff they say get back to you. But one thing I've learned, especially in our folk communities, is that people love unnecessary foolishness in that. You know, well, such and such said this. Well, such and such said that. Well, such and such should grow a pair and say it to my face. But because
but
I know this is not how.
Because
I know this
part
is how such and such rolls, we gotta.
Oh, right.
And that's the biggest thing. You got, you know, people get caught up in foolishness and they want you as their friend. They feel like it's your job to bail them out. You know, I've lost friends. I have people who said they don't fool with me because I didn't have their back on dumb stuff they've done. And if you're listening, you can definitely chime in on tonight's conversation. We do apologize. 319-527-6083. 319-527-6083. That's the call-in line. But I've lost friends. Because they said, you know, well, you supposed to be my friend, and you going to let that person just punch me in my face. You had your mouth on them. Ain't no senses. Listen, first of all, I'm just not gonna get punched in my face. Let's just start there. Number two, you talked all this stuff about a person. You should be able to handle the repercussions of your mouth.
Right. But I think people are not modern day. They hide behind blogs. They hide behind this. They hide behind podcasts. And they hide behind things to tell stories and narratives that are not true. And this is why when I was talking about Cassie Davis, you know, putting stuff on social media has its dangers. Because you cannot, once you delete it, if I saw it, put it out there, but it still continues. Because now, and I was talking before you and I podcast tonight, I talked about a situation concerning something I saw on Facebook. And it bothered me because I'm looking at this church being, this pastor being basically made fun of. And this is like the second or third time I've seen him being made fun of. And I'm watching him being made fun of. I'm watching people saying things about him, you know, but they're doing it under the skies of him looking at his service, calling him feminine, you know, basically judging him because of what they assume his gender, his sexuality to be. And it just really bugged me because it seems like we're so judgmental of people and we hide behind social media, we hide behind certain things to make people feel bad. Like we post, like for a long time before the pandemic, I refused to do Facebook Live. I didn't want to showcase the church because I didn't want people saying things about the church or saying things about me or saying things about the members because of one incident. And like, no, I was very dead set against it. Then I started doing it. But then I'm still cautious about what I say, what I post, and how I post it, because people are very mental. You'll say one thing wrong, and then it's a whole, you don't know the scriptures, or you just a heretic, or you did this, you show some type of femininity, which there are some men who are feminine, there are some women who are masculine, but doesn't mean they're gay or bisexual. It just means that that's who they are. And we start judging them based on what they look like. And that's not what the Bible tells us to do, or that's not what Scripture says. So my thing is we hide behind social media, we hide behind social platforms to get a point across, and then get on Facebook and get on social media and make people look bad. And it just, it's irky. Yeah. It's really irky.
But, you know, E. Dewey Smith said a while ago, if we want people to come to the house, stop judging the people when they get to the house. You know, I think the biggest problem we have in the church, and this is probably the only time you hear me talk about the church on this show. Well, it won't be the only time because I got a whole topic about the show, the church coming up. But what our issue is with the church is, to me, what we messed up is we allowed the church to become God. And I know there's probably going to be some church folk listening tonight that's going to say, oh, I don't agree with that. And quite frankly, I don't care what you agree with. The church feels, and let me just say, because I'm gonna go a step further. The black church feels they have the same power as God. You know, no matter what we do, judge not, be ye not judged, was spoken to the entire body, from the pulpit to the toilet cleaners. You know, it wasn't just spoken to those who don't hold leadership positions. The biggest problem to me with the black church is we always wonder why people don't come to church. The reason why people don't come to church, especially in the black church, is we push them out the church. Because the first thing we want to do is we want to try to judge everybody. We don't want to be, first of all, most of us can barely leave the church. But then we want to overemphasize. And let's be real, if it wasn't for half of your family and your friends, you wouldn't have a church. I'm going to throw it out there because I don't care. What you going to do to me? You know, for the majority of the churches, if it wasn't for your family joining the church because you became a pastor or your friends joining the church because you became a pastor and y'all all start y'all Kiki club, y'all wouldn't have a church. That's number one. But number two, if you want to live the word, then go to the church, preach the word, and sit down, period. A thing today of someone that was in the midst of their praise, and the caption was like, oh, it's the shooting guy for me, I'm good. You know, it's always the people who ain't doing nothing in the church that always got the most to say about the church.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't doing nothing. I don't care the most you're doing is playing the drums, playing the keyboard. You might give a dollar. But let's be real. Until you can step into anybody's shoes and lead the people and put yourself on the back burner for the people you have to lead, you are not equipped. And you are not commissioned to open your throat.
Commission.
Like, period. It's not. You have not even been called to open your throat. You don't. If you don't agree with their ministry, you don't agree with them, don't go to their church.
Yep.
Because 90% of us. I won't say 90%, but the majority of us who lead the congregation, we do it without questioning, we do it without hesitation, and we do it without pay. And when everything is going downhill, we still making sure that half of y'all that show up are getting paid, getting fed, and getting help, while we're getting more and more unappreciated for what we do.
Right.
You know, if we're good enough to pay your bills when you ain't got no money, then we're good enough to pray your salvation when you ain't got no faith. You know, and in the words of many of the senior bishops, if you were meant to do it and you had the anointing to do it, then God would have called you, not me. I'm just saying. So that's where I'm at with the church right now. You know, because I sit back and I watch things. I don't say much. I've learned to kind of bridle my tongue in this season, and I'm not, and that y'all really don't know how much of a fight that is for me. But I learned, you know, everybody won't be able to get with me because I don't bite my tongue, and I don't know how to do things nicely. I ain't never sugar watered nothing in my life, and the way I hit it, I can get it. So I don't stress when people have to say something to me. The only issue I have is if you got enough nuts to say something to me, have enough nuts to know I'm going to say something back to you, boo-boo. And you might not agree with it. But the older saints, I feel, need to apologize to the church because it's the older saints who have ruined the church. Y'all want kids in the church because without the kids, there won't be a future to the church. But yet, y'all push the kids out because when the kids come to church, they can't do nothing that you don't agree to. If we open the door to the church to more poetry slams and open mics
session where they can't rap, or at least they can't do non-Christian-based rap, but we allow the young people just to showcase their talent and not make them feel like everything that they like is a trip to hell. Kids will show up to church.
Right.
But we don't do that. And the excuse we use is, it's not God. But then we preach about this God who turned water into wine. You know, if we stop being so cackling in the church, and I'm talking to y'all church mothers that have been in the church for 37 years in the same row wearing them same dollar store stockings, if we stop sitting in the church cackling about everybody's child like you ain't got four of them yourself in jail, you won't have the problems you have. It's almost like we come to church to forget that we sin too. So we judge the new sinner. You know, well, that girl a hoe, well, you got four kids and ain't none of them by your husband either, Mother Jenkins. So these are the things that we have to look at. I don't like when we act like we so good because we got it together, but we ain't got it right. And then we beat everybody else up who's just simply trying to get it together and not even trying to get it completely right. So it bothers me. It bothers me. And that's the church that we live in today, and we've made it okay to turn the church into a social club and a fraternity and a sorority. Because all we do is come to church to see who we can bash today, what we can talk about today. That's why half the churches don't even show the preached word on Facebook. They just show the shouts and the prophecies. But that's all my observation. I'm just speaking my mind.
I think we need to change the way we view or how we view certain outlets and things. Because it's very disheartening to watch people who have and you feel bad for people who have a genuine relationship. Like, today I was talking to my students, and some of them said they hadn't been to church, and one little girl said she ain't been to church in 12 years. One little girl said she ain't been to church in years. She didn't say how many, but she ain't been to church in years. Well, two of them that grew up Catholic told me their history with, you know, the church mothers, and they're Catholic, but they're African Catholic. So they were sharing their story about their history, about their growing up in church. The two other little girls I didn't ask, but I will ask, because I want to know why they haven't been in church for a while. It's interesting to understand why these kids have not had some type of exposure to religion or some type of exposure to church or some type of exposure. So it's interesting to see what's going on in their minds. I just believe that if we're going to be united like we're supposed to, we need to stop, again, like you said, bashing each other, making fun of each other, I don't know what we could do, but we need to be more loving. Like, I feel like we've lost love for one another because the things that were once held in high regard are not being held in high regard. And we're making fun of people. We don't know that the intent and the purpose of their heart and their mind. So, again, I think that we need to calm down on that. But I also think we need to hold, but again, I think we also need to hold people accountable when they get out of line. Mm-hmm. I think one of the major things that we don't do is hold people accountable when they get out of, start happening and you start seeing it. We don't really hold people accountable for it. One thing that I tried to do is hold people accountable for their actions. Sometimes it may not have come out the right way, or done may not have come out in the best of light, but it wasn't done in a way where I was trying to be mean and nasty. It may have come out where it was stern and hard, and most people are not accustomed to me being stern. So when I'm stern, some people are not me being stern. So for them, it was hard to accept me being stern or me addressing issues. Like, because you have to address issues.
Yes.
You have to.
As a human, we have to address issues. Like, if it's wrong, it's wrong.
Right.
You know, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest issue I have. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And you should be able to accept, as a grown person, somebody saying, well, it's, you know, you're wrong. Like, I hate, like you said, you know, I hate when someone says, well, it's social media. You know, nowhere does it say on social media that social media's whole purpose is for you to sit and bash people. Or you can just come and just say whatever's on your pure little heart, you know, or on your mind, which we see don't have a lot of thought to it, just to get something off your chest because you feel like you need people to agree with you or say, you crazy.
Right.
You know, even on a blog, you know, or even on, you know, even with our podcast, you know, I try to think before I say certain things because I'm like, you know, people are going to take it one way or another. Do I care how you take it? Now, probably I don't. Because I'm very big on my granddad used to say, if you're going to say something, say it because it's meant to be said.
Right.
You know, but one thing I don't do, and I don't even allow it to happen, I don't bash, and I don't allow no one to come into my face and bash.
Right.
Because if the shoe's on the other foot, you want to cuss, fight, and shoot.
Right.
And what I feel sorry for is if you go to have kids, and your child end up being the one that's bashed.
Right.
You know, so I don't allow it. I don't accept it. We are a ministry that will turn your mic completely off and don't care how you take it. And I am a leader who don't have a problem showing you that I wasn't always safe. Because you're not coming in and disrespecting nobody in my house. Everybody got problems. You know, okay, you're married now. We get it. But you was a hoe before you was married.
No, not a hoe.
A whole hoe. So we get it. The Lord has delivered you enough for you to catch your ring. That don't necessarily mean you stop being a host. You know, now you just a hoe with a ring. See, you know, you're growing. So that's how I have to look at things, you know. And it's not to disrespect nobody. You know, they say, oh, it's better to marry than to burn. Okay, cool. But what happens when you married and still burning from the last time you burned?
Right.
So we have to get, you know, we have to understand these type things. We have to understand these type things. I just want the church to be better because if our ancestors fought for us to be able to even read the Bible and to have a place to call our own house of worship, and all we've done is turned it into a place where we're more judgmental than the court system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, the church is the church is one of the most top 10 hated places in America because we treat the church like it gives us authority as leaders to become someone's judge, jury, and God. And you're not. And so I think that's what we have to look at. Yeah, I understand Jesus said the same things he's done we can do too, but he never said to judge because Jesus didn't judge.
Right.
You know, he just spoke the blatant truth, and sometimes it was harsh. I'm quite sure when he told that woman at the well, you know, you was banging everybody, but none of the people you banging is your husband. You know, it's all good. She was all right. She understood. But it was the truth, and there's a difference between the truth and you passing what you believe is the truth and then starting it up with everybody. I promise you, that's the reason I get ready to stop going to church. That's the reason I stop fellowshipping with a lot of people. And then they get upset as leaders because they're like, well, I didn't say that. No, but you allowed your member to say it, and you never corrected your member. Because you never corrected your member, I'll be wrong if I show up. And they become a permanent fixture to the organ that they play.
Right.
So these are the things I think that the church has to really understand and get through. And same
way, now listen,
teachers.
Yeah. Uh huh. Now listen, y'all that are listening to this podcast now and blah blah and after, we are not bashing anybody. Don't think we're bashing anyone. Mm-hmm. And don't think we are. We have, as both being pastors, the stuff we have experienced would have made some people quit. The stuff that we both
Absolutely.
Have experienced in the past 2 years would have made people quit because we have a
in
heart
the past
for
two
the
years,
people.
I'm doing better for you in the past
Well, for
10.
You, 10. Yeah, for you, 10. Me, in the past 2-3 years, you know, we would have quit, but what we're saying is we're just leaders. We are people that don't have respect for others and are bashing them and making them feel like they're insignificant. And this is what's happening. And so we're fighting against that feeling of insignificancy. We're fighting against, mm-hmm. you know, bashing because it's not what God wants us to do. We are to be our brother's keeper. We are to be the lift our brother up. And when we're tearing down our brothers and our sisters, when we're tearing them down because of what, again, is a perceived notion of who these people are, then it makes the church look stupid to the world. It makes the church look
Absolutely.
Judgmental. Like,
powerless.
And that's not...
Yeah.
Powerless, and that's not what we're supposed to be. We're to be the salt of the earth. And I know we said that we,
Absolutely.
You know, again, this is not a churchy podcast, but, you know, because that's what we're talking. You know, it makes the church look powerless, and it makes us feel we don't have power, and we do. But the thing is we have to stop with the bashing and stop with the
yeah.
constant. You know, making fun of people because we don't know what we making fun of people's praises and shouting and dancing and don't know what the hell they have to go through when they leave the church building or when they go home. We're making fun of that. We're saying it's not real,
yeah.
but you don't know what a person's been through.
And on top of that, if I'm coming to a place that's designed for me to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a person in the house that is supposed to assist with my healing. How can I trust the location that I was sent to be bandaged up, to be stitched up, for my hurt to be healed completely? If it's the location that's doing the cutting and it's the location taking the wound and digging it deeper.
Right.
And you wonder why there are pastors committing suicide. You wonder why there are people who go to church and leave the church and then commit suicide. You wonder why there are people who won't even walk through the church's doors. We were designed as a place of healing, a place where I can be myself, and whatever needs to change about me, God will do the changing. And whether it takes me from now or whether it takes me to the day I close my eyes and give Jesus the rest of my life, that's not for you to judge. It's just for you to shut up and preach.
Mm-hmm.
Or shut up and play. And if you can't do that, how about you stay home? Because this is, truth be told, this is a profession that was never designed to be an income. Yeah, I just heard about that for y'all feelings. You know, we were called to be psychiatrists, psychologists, medical doctors, MDs, therapists, counselors, mentors. Nowhere did it say, and it came with great pay. I know what the word says, a workman is worthy of his hire. But if most of you are basing your worthiness off of the way you are, you're not worth a dime. Because your hire ain't just the words you preach, the prophecy you give, or the shout you shout. Your hire is everything about you. I might preach that this weekend. So these are the things we have to change about the house. And then the other thing in the church, if you say you're going to do something, do it. If you commit to something, commit all the way through to the end. Or have enough unction to say, you know what, I can't do this no more. But don't do this because you want friends. You know, being saved is a lonely road. I don't care what nobody says. When you get to heaven, you and your friends ain't going through that gate together because some of y'all niggas is going to hell. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just be 100%. Some of y'all going to rise, and at the same time as some rising, some just going to be left behind. But you have to want better for the people that are assigned to you, even the ones who leave. You know, I have folk who left. That don't mean I want less of them. If I called you my son when you belong to the ministry, I still call you my son. I don't take that role lightly. And while I do understand that everybody ain't considered a spiritual father, whatever else you want to say, as long as the hell I'm taking care of you, that kind of puts me in a father position. So it is what it is, you know. And there are people who will come to the house and leave the house and never give you the credit you deserve as the leader that you are. And that's why I love my brothers, because we might not be, we might not be Jakes and the rest of them, but I tell you one thing, we sure can roll with the best of them. So it is what it is.
Yep.
I see the sweat and tears they put in. They see the sweat and tears I put in. It bothers me that I'm good enough to help some people get 501c3s and help some people establish ministries, but I'm never good enough to preach in their pulpit. So what I do, I pulled myself back. And I'm okay with it.
Yep.
Because I've determined in myself, if nothing else, this season, you're going to respect me. And in this season, they're going to respect my crew. So you know, it is what it is. And like Maurice said, we're not bashing anything. We do this for a living.
And we love
my job. I can't quit ministry. I can quit my job.
Right. Right.
I can walk away from ministry, but I can never quit ministry.
And the funny thing is, I do ministry all day long. I'm not even
absolutely.
I do ministry all day long. I minister to my students. I minister to my coworkers. It's not about ministry. Never stops for us. But the thing is, we have to understand that everyone has to understand is that there are times that what we're seeing needs to be addressed. And we're seeing, and the stuff that we're seeing is not good, because it's like people are, again,
you're bashing people. You're making, you're belittling people, and that's not what you're supposed to do. You are your brother's keeper. We are our, we are each other's, we are our brother's keeper. We keep each other. When one of us is having a down moment, we call each other and encourage us. We are our brother's keeper. If there's something that we don't necessarily like about our brother or something, we address it. But we don't make them feel bad because human, they're human beings. We don't make them feel bad. We don't make them feel like they're less. And we're doing, and this is what the church is doing, is making people feel less than. You're making mockery of ministries because you don't understand or you don't like them. This is past an apostle in Georgia. His son was playing for another church, and this one female apostle, she starts talking and she starts getting on musicians. The son is already having some traumatic issues. His sister passed away. He was in the car. His sister passes away, but he survived. He's already having issues about church. He's 17 years old, and he's already having issues about church. This woman starts rebuking musicians, and he doesn't want to play at that point. And the woman gets up and tells him, you got 48 hours to repent. What?
And rightfully so, the apostle is
upset.
Yeah, and what bothers me is because in all her high and mightiness, she won't have enough common decency to go back and say, you know what, I was off. That's the part that hits me the most.
Right, because he doesn't want to play because now you're a bad musician. Now this young man is already hurt. His father had every right to go off on him, about the situation because she was wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did it, and then you were out of order because you did it when the pastor wasn't present. So if you read the backstory, the pastor wasn't even in the building when you did it.
Yeah, she was a guest speaker. She wasn't even the
you were a guest
she wasn't
speaker.
Even the pastor. She was the guest speaker.
Yeah, you were a guest speaker, and the pastor who house you were a guest in wasn't even in the building. The church was shut her down.
So she was a guest speaker. She was the guest speaker, but the church where the guest speaker has church at another building, and the young man is the son of the apostle who owns the building.
So you ain't even just damaging your ministry. You damaging everybody else's house.
Yeah. Yep. And the apostle gets online and says, this is not directed towards the pastor in the name of the church. This is not directed at her. This is not directed at her at all. He was addressing the apostle that was preaching. And so this is the stuff, but again, this is the stuff that we're doing. We are creating isms and schisms in the body and then not correcting them and expecting people to be okay. And this is not how it should be. There should be no competition between churches and pastors. There shouldn't be any isms and schisms between my ministry and your ministry. There shouldn't be. We should be able to sit down. If you and I don't agree or get along, we should be able to sit down to each other and say, hey, Apostle so-and-so, or hey, Pastor so-and-so, this is what's going on. We need to address this because we're brothers, and we need to do this the way that it's supposed to. The scripture says, if you have an ought against your brother, leave your gift at the altar. Go to your brother and make the situation correct. Correct it. And we're not correcting it. And we have a whole bunch of damaged people, whole bunch of damaged ministries. Church on North Avenue don't like church on South Avenue. Pastors had a beef, had a situation.
And what's crazy is because between North Avenue and South Avenue is 700 people that's unsaved. And the church that don't, and neither one of the churches can hold more than 100 people.
And no, we have got to really address these issues of what we always, and like you said earlier about the modern day and then we're gonna close. We talk about the modern day church and the tradition and the church of old, or the traditional church, as we say.
Hold on. You just became so Baptist.
I'm sorry. I know, and I didn't even grow up Baptist.
We're going to talk about the modern day church, and then we're going to close. I'm sorry. Go ahead, my fault. No offense to the Baptist church.
Right. But when we talk about it, the reason why there's such a disconnect is because of this, and I'm going to be honest with you. The reason why there's such a disconnect is because we really won't address how things were handled, how pastors handle what is present now, and it from Mama Bell was the mother of the church. And her whole family to church, and then old pastor was there for years until he died, and then the new pastor came, and Mama Bell just knew she was going to stay in the same position, and stuff starts happening. And when we start this cycle of things start happening, we never address the things that did not happen. And so we lose people. We lose generations. This is why people are walking away from churches. When those young ladies were telling me about the stuff that they were going through because of the church and because they're, you know, because of this, the older ladies took over and they didn't bring anyone new. And so it's a cycle, and we have to address it. We really have to address what is really going on in the church, and it's a disconnect. It's disconnect, a generational gap, disconnect, of communication, and we got to address it. Well, I hope y'all enjoyed us on tonight. I just want to do a kind of a shameless plug. I will be teaching 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
Of teaching starting tomorrow night, and it will be every night, 40 days, 40 minutes. Join me, and we will be doing life-changing prayers by Building Kingdom Consciousness. But Dr. Darrell R. Pulley will be doing that. And then every first and third Fridays, I'm teaching on King Keys to the Kingdom. And every second and fourth Friday, I am doing the Champions Life class, where I am teaching on the principles of healing, progression, and connection. So, man, I'm doing a lot of teaching.
Oof, all these big words.
Plus teaching personally every day. My love. But you can join me on social media platforms. I'm plugging myself here. We're doing a little shameless plug.
Uh-huh. It's all good. I'm going to go right behind you.
Join me on social media, on the social media platforms, on my personal Facebook page, on my church Facebook page, the City of Champions Ministries, and YouTube on the City of Champions Ministries. So you can join me on those platforms. But tomorrow we start 40 days, 40 minutes. And that's between myself, Daryl H. Ministries, who is my mentor, Bishop Joshua Harris, and my own personal and my own ministry. All right. Go ahead. I'm the man.
And while you're joining him in all of his teaching engagement, make sure that your body, your house, your car, and your office smell good by going to dredaylounge.cincy.us
and get you some good Scentsy products. We are entering into, I believe this is their 50th year. We have so many new fragrances that you guys are going to want in your atmospheres. Once again, that is Dre Day Lounge, D-R-E-D-A-Y-Y Lounge, .scentsy.us. And also, since we're talking about great churches, Greater Refuge Temple, which I happen to be the pastor of, is hosting a bus trip to see Moses at the Sight and Sound Theater Saturday, April the 29th, 2023, $200 per adult, $140 per child, 3 to 12 years old, includes round-trip bus accommodations on a luxury motor coach, as well as lunch at Miller's Smorgasbord. We're leaving from People's Settlement parking lot on 8th and Lombard Streets in Wilmington, Delaware. For more information, you can check us out at Greater Refuge Temple, and that's on Facebook. So Facebook.com, Greater Refuge DE, if you want the direct address. But Greater Refuge Temple, you can also check it out, the information on Breakthrough Reformation, INC.org. Your deposit of $100 is due by March the 10th if you're planning to go, with the balance being due at the end of March. Looking forward to seeing you as part of that trip. And you can connect with us on platforms on Facebook and on IG at Greater Refuge Temple DE, or you can catch us on YouTube, Greater Refuge Temple Delaware, youtube.com/ Greater Refuge Temple DE. For any of our social events, we teach every Thursday night. We've been digging into spiritual deliverance and warfare. And spiritual warfare and deliverance is what we've been teaching on every Thursday night. We're going to probably be digging into that for another 6 to 8 weeks. And every Sunday, 11 o'clock, we go live on our Facebook and our YouTube platforms. And within the next 30 days, we'll be back live on our website for our listening audience. And you can check the brothers out anytime. The Brothers Podcast on Facebook, The Brothers Podcast on IG, currently on Blog Talk Radio, Apple Music Podcast, iHeartRadio. New theme song coming within the next week to 2 weeks. We are excited for our season 2. We're still kicking live. We're still doing what we need to do. We're still on your radios. We're still invading your mindset. And we're still going to see you next week at 7:30 right here. And next week we're going to have the discussion, is that fool talking to me? We're going to dig right back into the church. We is. But we're going to talk about just, you know, certain things, like, you know, how you just have counsel with your pastor. And then now this week your pastor is preaching about what y'all just had counseling about. We're going to talk about how that might have hurt if you had that experience, or if you feel like you've been wrong. 319-527-6083 is our call-in for next week, but you can hit us on any of our social media podcasts or social media outlets, IG, Instagram, which is what IG is, Facebook, The Brothers Podcast, and let us know, hey, I got to be on the show, and we would definitely get you on the show. That might change by next week, but as of right now, that's what I'm really feeling. So we're going to see how that flows. On behalf of our brother Javon, who we wish was here, we love greatly in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA.
Yes, we do.
Home of Kevin Hart and the Philadelphia Eagles, who got wings but no ring. And on behalf of my brother, Maurice, all the way down in Charm City, where they got some of the best crab cakes, but you got to be more careful because their rats look like cats. And on behalf of myself, your boy Andre, the first state home of the Blue Hands and home of our own homeboy president, Joseph R. Biden, Sr., we want to thank you guys for tuning in, for listening in, for loving us, for letting us come up on your radio. Hopefully we'll have a new joint by next week, but if not, we're still going to hold it down until we get it. You're going to have to listen to the same exit. We follow.